Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brothers for Real radio show. Happy New Year. It is a new year. Can you believe that? January 2nd, 2018. See, sound right. What happened to 2017? Well, ready or not, here it is. We're the Brothers. Brothers for Real radio show. Every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Joseph, Robert, Leon, and Curtis discussing real issues and the real way, leaving no stone unturned, no crumbs on the table. What's happening? You want to talk about it? Keep you honest. Tuning in by radio. You can also radio, man. He's on the radio anyway. If you're tuning in by a computer, you can also call in at 646-787-1967. That'll put you right on the line. And also just sit back and listen. If you're on the line, just put your hand up, hit the number, one key, and that'll bring your hand up, and we can tune you in onto the conversation. Brothers Real started about 10 episodes ago. nice little project for 2017 that we're continuing into 2018. Covered a lot in 1 year. Got a president that's just gone to a fool. We got race fighting races, women fighting men, men fighting women. We got Muslims fighting Jews and Arabs fighting. Yeah, who knows? It just looks mad world. Where is the love, folks? Come on, everybody. Can't be that hard. Can't be that hard. But we're going to talk about it. Whatever happened through the values of humanity, my brother's here. Whatever happened through the fairness of Leon over there. Leon. Instead of spreading love, we're spreading
animosity. Lack of understanding.
Leon, welcome to the show.
What's up, Robert? Thank you, sir. Hey. Welcome to the show yourself.
Where's the love? Where's the Leon? Where's the love, Leon? Where's the love?
Man, you gotta just have your own love, man.
We don't love folks' love, can you?
I'm straight, huh?
You can't wait on other folks' love, can you?
No, man. No, man. You just generate love and spread it, man. That's the way you do it.
I like the word generate.
Yeah, gotta generate it, brother.
Gotta start somewhere. People are sitting around waiting on love. Start some love, daggone it. Start it.
Okay. It's like anything else.
Me off about people. Like anything else, you're right. There's my old saying is, don't ever complain about something that you have the power to change yourself. Now, if you've done everything you can do and you need some help and you get mad because other folks ain't helping you, okay, that's legit. But if you haven't done jack squat and you're complaining, oh, there's no love, there's no money, there's no this, there's no that. Nobody's helping the kids. Nobody's chopping with black businesses. And you ain't doing jack squat yourself.
What is jack squat,
hey,
man?
That's not. I don't know, man. I think there was a guy named Jack somewhere. And once upon a time, now you got to get me the line here, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, look. Hey, man, look, I got Google, though. See, I done Googled it by the time I start filibustering.
Well, I know, I
like
do
these
that.
Congress people.
I
yeah,
do that.
You be saying, though, sometimes.
Somebody impress you, because you're not careful about people being pressing you. You be talking, they be like, man, how do you know that? You be sitting in front of a computer.
Yeah. You know what? I tell you, was good thing you said that, though, because the way it has gotten now, everything is so politically correct, and everything has. You find out that Jack was some religious person or a handicapped somebody. You making fun? He was squatting because he didn't have any legs or something. You be all politically incorrect. So you're right. You have to start checking out the origin of some of these things we be quoting. So that's good. Glad you brought that up there, brother. So welcome,
hey, man.
Brothers for real.
Go ahead. We'll get to that.
I heard some squeaking over there, bro. Now I'm just saying, this is just letting welcoming everybody to the show. Brothers for real is part of the Marketing Pulpit family. Go to Marketing Pulpit, by the way, and just check out what's going on there. Marketing Pulpit produces 10 radio shows across the country, and Brothers for real is one of those. Our flagship show, Marketing Pulpit on Radio 1, comes on every Friday at 10:30 a.m. You can go to Marketing Pulpit and just get the whole lineup, get the whole scoop. Or go to brothersforreal.com and follow us, like us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And we put up some photos, and you can also listen to all of the past shows by just going to either Marketing Pulpit or Brothers for Real or Blog Talk. But if you go to Brothers for Real, it's all right there in one place. You don't have to go shooting all over the place. Find all the shows, contact information, and all that good stuff. Leon, what's going on down there in the Carolinas? I'm up here in the D.C. area, by the way. Everybody who's listening, I'm holding things down up in the Washington D.C. area. It's cold as a rat's hand up here, a rat's hand leg. Now that's another saying, colder than a bug's ear.
I
think it's cuter than a bug's ear. All right. Guy, it's cold. Let's put it that way. It's cold. It's about 10 degrees up here.
About 10 here before the night's over. Yeah, man.
What's happening down
there?
Right, while we're getting the other brothers rounded up, Leon, tell us what's happening down there in the Carolinas. What's going on down in the Hollis Center? Tell us what's going on. I understand. I'm still some of your thunder here. I understand that my little brother Leon is about to be made Pope or something. Wait a minute. They're doing something to you down at Livingstone. Make you a bishop or give you the key to the city or what? What's going on down there? Fill us in.
Man, let's straighten this out quick, man, for somebody to hang up before we get it. I'm not being bishoptized.
You know, that's never start, right? Rumors will start.
Quick, man. Quick. People hang up quick and start telling it, boy. But yeah, here's what happened, man. Thank God. There's a young lady in Anson County, name is Thomasina Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
And she, Miss Thomasina, she's a community service pro. I don't know how else to say it, but she's been in it for years and years, the community service thing. But anyway, she nominated me to go into the Livingstone College Hall of Fame of Leadership.
Hmm.
And the committee accepted her nomination. And so that means on February the 8th, I'll be inducted into the Livingstone College Hall of Fame for Leadership. And I'm so
humbled. You get a little, hey, Leon.
Yes, sir.
You got a little star out on the sidewalk or something? You get a little star on the sidewalk or that something else?
I'm going to shoot for that. I could be the first.
Wait,
I haven't seen
any. I haven't seen any out there. Walk of Fame. Okay.
But you know what?
It, man. Hey, it ain't happening. But,
you know what Livingstone does sell bricks. You can buy your brick at Livingstone and have your name on a brick. So anyway, we'll get to that one day too. But yeah, man, that's pretty exciting. I'm excited about it. I appreciate it. You know how you get something, you be trying to be at like you well, yeah. I'm really excited about this though, man. I'm excited. I appreciate Ms. Spencer nominating me for that.
Well, you should be.
And I've been
I've told a couple of people, Leon, and everybody I said, they said it couldn't have happened to a more deserving person. So congratulations to Leon for being inducted into the Livingstone College Hall of Fame. That's also my alma mater. Curtis went to Livingstone. Lillian went to Livingstone. Ellen went to Livingstone. Angie went to Livingstone. Daniel went to Livingstone. Is there any more left? Curtis,
you went to
Livingstone.
Now we have one.
Yeah.
Joseph. Let's talk about Joseph. He went to North Carolina
State
University.
Yeah, bless his heart. We'll forgive him. We'll forgive him. He didn't know any better. We'll talk about it if this is not here. Hey, Leon, guess what, though,
right,
man? It's a new year.
It's a new year, man.
I was talking. I've been wrestling with these year's resolutions, right? Everybody's. Everybody's resolving, so I said I'm going to get me out. See, I'm one of those guys got to find the expert. I'm not one of these know-it-alls, so when something comes along, it's a challenge, I go out and get some help. So this is what I did. I called up Baby New Year. I called Baby New Year himself. I said, Baby New Year. Baby New Year himself. I woke him up. Now he was having... Come on, Baby New Year. You weren't doing that when I called. Huh?
That the same baby?
Come on, Baby New
Year.
It was last year. I think it's a different baby every year, but he looks the same. He looks the same, but... I think they're cousins or something. They're related. They got to be related. So I said, every time I look around, it's a new year. It seems like he'd be a year older, doesn't it? But he's a baby every year, man. He got something going on funny there, man. But hey, look, man, it's not me to question it. I just called him, and I said, like I said, but you know, he was the one thing about this Baby New Year. God, there you go again. I hope that's not a sign what this year is going
to
be about.
I'm waiting to hear some of his ass.
But see, no, look, man, he wasn't crying when I called him. He was just as legible as he could be. I think he's a little sour. He's a little He's a little sour right now because a lot of folks been calling him, asking these same questions. Said, what about these resolutions?
Right.
So I left him alone, but he did stop crying long enough to give me this advice. So this is what he told me, Leon. I said, look, I said, people making these resolutions, they just going to fool. I tell you something else I think why he was crying, Leon. Because he said, first of all, you shouldn't be calling me. You should be using your direct message. He said he had a Facebook page, but he didn't like that. He said, get with the program, dude. This is 2018. Don't be calling folks and sending emails and writing letters. You got to use your DM, your direct message. So that may have been why he was crying.
This is what
he told me. I said, look, now, you got all these folks asking all these questions, all these resolutions. So he gave me some advice. He didn't give me necessarily resolutions, but he said this is some advice to make the resolutions that you have more effective.
Okay.
And he said this. Now, Baby New Year, first thing he said, look, Baby New Year is not like a genie. It's not a genie where you just rub a beer bottle or a wine bottle together or something, and he shows up with an answer to all your problems. No.
Right.
He said, get off that. He's not a genie. He may have been crying over that. Baby New Year, I am not a genie in a bottle. Now, this one, I understand the confusion on this one, Leon, but he definitely said this. He said, a resolution is not a prayer. You know, people be standing around their New Year's table. They got the collard greens and the black-eyed peas and the rice and the little ham and the juice. And they start telling they get the resolution and the prayers mixed up. It's like you're in the middle of you holding hands with everybody. All of a sudden, somebody's saying a resolution. Somebody else got their eyes closed praying. It gets very confusing. So Baby New Year, look, it is a resolution, not a prayer. There's a difference.
That is.
But I understand the confusion, Leon.
Pray to God, not to the baby.
Not to Baby New Year.
Pray to God, not to the baby.
But Leon, I'm going to tell you why it gets confusing. Think about it now. I think they get Baby New Year confused with Baby Jesus. I mean, come on.
That's right.
I mean, they're both about they came about a week apart, right? You got the 25th,
right.
Then you got the 1st. So that's a common mistake. So maybe New Year shouldn't be so hard on us on that one. That's kind of understandable.
Right. The New Year kind of.
All right,
wrong.
Here's one. He gets a little big around there. Yeah, that baby. But I still got to figure out why he's the same size every year. Okay, here's one he said. You got to be reasonable in your resolutions. Now, if you busting tables at McDonald's, ain't nothing wrong with that. But don't expect to be the CEO by the end of the year. There's a few steps that you got to take care of. So you got to be reasonable in your resolution. That's what the Baby New Year said. Now, this is not me talking. The Baby New Year said this. Now, some folks going to get a little ticked off at me on this one. But he did say this, Leon. He said, look, if it ain't happened in the last 20 years, you got to just move on. It's probably not going to happen.
Oh, man.
You can't keep resolving for the same thing over and over for 20 years.
Somebody needs to spank that.
Hey, look. That's probably why he was crying. Somebody got a hold of him over that one. Somebody found that little rascal and tanned his little hand. What you say?
Right.
I've been trying to lose these 10 pounds. I'm going to lose these 10 pounds this year.
Exactly. Right.
Hey, but this is what I decided, though, Leon. I think you can, if you can't if you're doing the same thing that you've been doing the last 20 years. If you you make a resolution to lose 20 pounds and then you go out and eat Big Macs for lunch every day, it's probably not going to happen this year either. What do you think?
It's not going to happen, bro. If
you're
doing the same
different.
Thing, you're going to get the same results. Like you said, they're not it's Baby New Year, not Baby Genie.
which takes me to the next one, Leon. It has to be something that you can control. That's why you can't be.
Right.
That's why you get these prayers and resolutions mixed up. You can't be saying, "Look, I want a new president by March." I mean, that's a nice.
We want one by tomorrow.
We want. That's a nice wish, but it's not a resolution because you can't unilaterally do it yourself. It has to be something that you can control. That's where that witching and praying and resolution gets all confusing. You got to be able to control it. And see, now Baby New Year said this too. He said, make sure it's legal. I don't know what that was about. Baby New Year had some experiences there. I can imagine. Make sure whatever you're wishing on, it's got to be legal. That's a good one, though.
That was a good one.
You would think that would be a given, right?
Yeah, but that was
you
a
think
good
that,
one.
You think it's a given, but I think some things you have to throw in there just to be safe.
Yeah.
All right. He said, it should not include revenge. All right, so everybody out there trying to get even in the new year, baby New Year said, nope, no revenge. You don't put that out there in the universe. It's got to be positive. Got to be something positive. I'm sure Baby New Year, he's basing this on experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's see, he said.
He's grown and he looked. That Baby New Year is grown and he looked.
I mean, think about it. This baby been around since the beginning of the time. He's an old son of a gun. He's got that baby face, but man, that's some wisdom under there. That's some wisdom. Like some folks we see walking around. They be looking all young, but we know they got a little. They get a little long in the tooth. Let's see here. Baby New Year, say be specific. I understand this one. Some people are saying, "Hey, I'm gonna be a better person in 2018." You can't just say that. I mean, what does that mean?
And hear me tell you the story behind that though. People think they tell that Baby New Year's baby like Santa Claus. You know, he just came out of Christmas. He sees you when you're sleeping, know when you're awake, know when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. So they're thinking that same thing over in the Baby New Year. See, Baby New Year not like Santa Claus. He doesn't know.
they get Baby New Year, Baby Jesus, and Baby Santa Claus. All mixed up. Well, yeah,
right.
Leon, think about this. You do have quite a cast of characters going on around.
Oh, it's a serious cast, brother. Hello? Gaywood. Okay, brother, for real.
Brothers for Real, we are here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. I am Robert Gates with your host. Have my brothers here with me. Leon is joining us tonight. And we talk about real issues and real ways. We just finished talking about Baby New Year. He gave us some great advice. And if you want to tune in and pick up on the past shows or this show after it's over, just go to brothersforreal.com. And we have the information right there on the homepage. You can also catch us on Facebook. Twitter. Catch us on Instagram. Follow us. Like us. Keep this information coming in. This is New Year's show, our first show of 2018. But we'll be back every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And if you're joining us online, if you feel like calling in, you can call us at 646-787-1967. And if you have a comment, just hit the number one on your keypad, and that'll put your hand in the air, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Leon, are you back? Are you back, Leon?
Yes, man, I'm back. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there, man, but I noticed you playing The Temptations, man.
They were saying Beauty's Only Skin Deep. That's kind of – I think guys kind of like that song, but I don't think women too crazy about it. Women say, look, hey, don't be telling me I'm ugly on the outside and pretty on the inside.
Yeah. You know, The Temptations were on this – the movie was on this Saturday or something like that. And they had a
marathon.
The Temptations, the Toni Braxton story, the Whitney Houston story, the James Brown. God, man, I was up all night, man.
What about the Five Heartbeats? Did it happen?
If it had been on, I couldn't watch it, man. It was 24 hours in a day.
That's all. Last time I checked. You're listening to Brothers For Real. Leon, this next topic, I just have to put out here. Because, then it's probably because of something. I'm taking a new approach in 2018. And so this is probably personal to me, and you can probably relate to. But I've decided I'm going to be more strategic in my giving. I'm one of these big-hearted folks, be trying to help everybody and save everybody, trying to make everything right. And then I realized that, like anything in your life, you have to manage things. You have to manage giving.
That's true.
And so this is what I did. I asked myself these questions, and you can help me out here. As part of, if we go into this giving management therapy, I'm going to call it myself. I'm laying on my own couch here doing a self-diagnosis. So one thing I was asking myself is that, was I asking enough of the people to whom I was giving? Am I just giving with no accountability on the other end? Now, these are questions. I'm putting these questions out here. You can come back and join me. These are just questions that were going around in my head as I'm trying to get into this giving management. The other thing I ask myself, do the people that I'm giving actually know what it's costing me? In time and money and relationships and family, time I could be doing other things. Do the folks you're giving to actually know that you're actually giving almost until it hurts? Do they realize that, and would they be different if they knew that in advance or even in the process? I'm just putting this out here now. Do the person that you're helping really need the help? Or we're just making this assumption that they do because they haven't met a certain standard, or we're judging it through our own lens. Do they really need the help, or are we making some assumptions in advance? I'm putting that out there. So as you're going through this giving management, you also have to ask yourself, would they be okay if you gave them less help than you were actually giving them? Because resources are finite. We don't have endless amount of time. We don't have endless amounts of money. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we take care of somebody else? So would we be better off giving less, and would the person be okay with less? That was a question. Now, here's one that has just become more and more, I guess, in the frontal lobe as I get into this giving management. If you didn't give them this help, would they even get better help somewhere else? Is there a safety net that would have caught them and probably even help them more than what you're doing? That's just something to think about. I'm putting it all out here now.
Right.
Here's one. Are you enabling bad behavior by helping people? You think you're doing them a favor, but you're actually making things worse by becoming an enabler.
And he was the last one that made me just go into this place. I had to close the lights and chant and do Nami Orenge Kale, pray, chant, whatever else, be meditate. This was the one question that did it. Said, "Are you being used?" I said, "Holla, Maddie. Holla, Maddie." So, Leon.
Yeah, man.
Leon, take this walk with me, man. Take this walk with me. Your brother's got a big heart. I know you got one. That's why they give me that Durin Star over there in Livingstone. Your heart's big as Texas. Like, go ahead.
Let me give you something that happened once. We had had one of our major contributors, the K.B. Reynolds Charitable Trust.
Uh-huh.
You know, when people give you money, a lot of these guys, they give you free consultations, free counseling and stuff on how to make your money more effective. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and they give. You know, these people give like millions of dollars away every year. So
right.
They want to make sure what they're doing. They're like you now. They're thinking like you. Are we doing the right thing with this money? Are we giving properly? Are we giving the best impact? You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So one of the things, one thing we went in there bragging about, when I say bragging, I'm going to use that word so people understand it. It wasn't a boast, but it was, you know, one of the things we thought would stand out to them, make them say, "Oh, yeah, you guys, all right." We went in there and we served the whole county of Anson. When we say to serve the whole county, we try to go to this middle school, we try to go to the elementary school, we're going around people, every school in the county, giving out money. You know, a savings bond. You know, $50 savings bond. Every child who didn't get a step four or something like that, or they got a chance. So we ended up giving about $60 savings bonds out every year. So anyway, one of the things they told us was you shouldn't try to serve the whole county. So pick a school.
Mm-hmm.
And what you guys constantly, if you guys are in Morgan, why don't you just concentrate on Marlin Elementary School? That's what they told us while we had their money. And they were giving us a lot of money. So we've slowed down a lot. You know, we really slowed our pace up. You know, we started concentrating more on certain things. We took that advice. So to address that issue of yours, yes, you have to rethink giving. It has to be
specific. Yeah.
That's the out there flying over that broadcasting dollar bills all over the place. Because people start grabbing it. Don't, you know, before it turns out, what happens is the people that are more aggressive start getting the money, you know.
And they may not be the most needy.
Because
I tell you what happened. This happened at my, you know, I used to have the first Friday over here at my office. I did it about 6 years, and you came to a few. That's right. I had the best intentions. I didn't. It cost me money. It cost me time, and it probably even cost me some other resources in terms of relationships and a lot of other things that, you know, people just saying you're not available this time because I'm cutting this time out of my life. Right, every first Friday of every month for about 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
And you just
wow.
A Friday when people are out partying, they're going to plays and movies, they're getting their weekend on. And I have committed this day of the week for about 6 years. I mean, it was really nonstop. I don't think I missed but one. And after it went on and on, I started taking stock and I started noticing. So it brought me to that first question of, are we asking enough of those to which we give? If you don't ask for something back, you will find yourself being used, really. Because, one, it goes to the second one, people might not actually know what toll is taking on you.
That's right.
You're so into the moment of giving and thinking you're helping people, they just figure, shoot, he must like doing it. He must have this extra time or this extra money or this extra resources to just give away every Friday. So I'm going to come if I feel like it, and I may not come sometimes, which takes you to that other thing. Do they really need it? Or are you making this assumption that they need it? If you stand out on the corner and start giving out $20 bills, whether you need it or not, you're going to grab one. Most people are going to grab
one. I'm going to grab one.
And then it brought up this other issue. And it's like, this is really going to be a new Robert in 2018. If you don't provide these services, or there are other institutions, individuals, agencies that actually might even do it better. I found this out by being a consultant for the government. Some of the services that I offer are free services provided by good old Uncle Sam. And some of the same thing I'm trying to give people, really with my blood, sweat, and tears. Would I be better off directing people to the types of resources they need than to try to provide those services myself? So it just opened up this whole new way of thinking for me. And I'm going to tell you what happened, Leon, when it happened. It's like a burden just fell off me. It's like I can't save the world by myself. Only thing I'm doing is just wearing me down. I have got to, like, I've started many successful businesses. I've managed many successful projects. I need to step back now and manage a project called Robert's Giving. How he's going to give, who he's going to give it to, what method, what channels, whether he's going to bring in partners, if it's information, it should be more information than actually, you know, boots on the ground giving. And I think all of us big-hearted people at some point need to take stock and say, are we really giving the right way? Is there a better way to give? And I'm definitely not saying harden out your heart and be less of a giver. I'm just saying that, like anything else in your life where you have to use your brain and be strategic, we have to be more strategic in our giving.
I'll tell you what happened to me this morning. This morning, this young lady called me this morning and asked me if I knew anyone who was providing shelter in Anson County.
Mm-hmm.
The reason she was concerned was because in Anson County is supposed to be like in the low teens for the next few days.
Right.
And she was concerned that, she said, we have money to offer people for, and this was a church calling, she said, we have money to offer people for fuel, but we don't have any shelter space to offer.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, there's a need for a lot of things, though, Robert. You know, once you start thinking about it, there's so much need in America.
That's what makes it hard, Leon. You know there's all this need. You just want to make sure you're directing your resources where it's needed.
That's right.
That's what people need to really understand.
It's not just you're saying you're tired of giving. You just need the target you're giving. You know, you need to be more strategic. You just need to be more strategic with giving, because there's a great need. And there are a lot of people out there giving. And that was another thing. I'll say this while I'm talking. We just recently had meetings with United Way where they're beginning to do exactly what you're doing, Robert. Looking at it. How are we making an impact? Are we giving right? Are we doing it right? You know, so everybody's going back and read and looking at this thing again. So it must be the season for that, man.
I think so, because there was a Twitter this morning, got in a little hot water. They sent out a tweet of Dr. Martin Luther King lying in his casket, assassinated back in 1968, April. And they said, have you seen my friend Martin? That was like the caption of the photo. Well, his daughter, Yolanda, wasn't too happy about it, so she commented, and of course they retracted the tweet. But I think that tweet what got me to thinking. Dr. Martin Luther King was only 39 years old. You know, we think about 39 years old, man, we still thinking about, man, we got knuckleheads when we start getting up in our age range, about getting out everybody that anybody know been 90 years old. But when you start thinking about 39 years old, that's a young man. Here was in the casket, in the coffin, was Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, you can see, if you look hard enough, you can see the damage that the bullet did to his jaw. I mean, even though the Undertaker did the best he could. This guy gave everything he had.
Everything.
Made the ultimate sacrifice. Children, his family was almost destitute when he died. He didn't have a big savings account. He didn't have a business to pass down. He was a minister. And heaven forbid, no, I mean, we know the minister's not, I mean, nowadays that may be a different story. If he had a mega church, he may have been okay. But back then, he's just a little country preacher. He gave everything. And then I fast forward to 2018, and I look at where we are as a people. Did he give too much? Was he strategic enough? Did he have to give his life? Was there a better way? I mean, I know we were dealing with some evil forces back then, but it makes us all think, if you gave as much as Dr. Martin Luther King gave, and then we still are where we are, it should make us all think.
Well, here's the deal with that, though. He did. This way we have to see that, in my opinion. He did his part.
Right.
He did what he had to do. Now, what happened since then is on us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely not. I'm not taking anything from him.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Though he gave. But that what you're saying though is what should wake us up. We should look at that and say, man, we got to do better. You're looking at it right. We should be better off.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
We're in a tough situation.
Joe, hey, Leon, this is no way even trying to compare with what Dr. King did. But I go back to my example of giving this event, this free event of free food, advice, special guest speakers for business owners for 6 straight years. And then I said that even though I made progress, but you still have to say to yourself, can we do better, be more strategic? Because we've got people like yourself, Brother Curtis, Brother Joseph, all you guys got the biggest hearts. And I just want to be, do we have to pool these resources? I know this is a good example of what we're trying to do right here. Curtis and you have talked about this for years of how we brothers are doing all these different things in different parts of the country. We got to somehow funnel these resources through one channel. Maybe we need more of that. Maybe one person can't move a mountain. So I am at this crossroads, and this is something I'm going to continue to deliberate in the coming weeks and months, not just for me, but for my people as well. We are up against some formidable forces. I mean, some really terrible things can happen if we don't channel, because I predict there's going to be some great need coming down the pike with this tax bill that was just passed into law. We know the need is going to be greater than anything we've seen in the coming years. So this is like a dry run on the type of giving that we're going to have to be marshaled up to deliver in the coming years. So I think this is a good time for everybody to, if you're a giver, continue to give, but think about how to make the greatest impact. If you're not giving,
right,
yes, that may mean join people. That may mean follow some people who are doing, support them. Sometimes you're running out here driving people up and down the road might not be the best way to do it. And I'll give you another example, Leon, before we go to the break.
Uh-huh.
There was a young lady that worked in my office. She was in the same suite, and this is a different. It's a little different, but it's almost like a microcosm of some of the things that you have to ask yourself. And so she was like, "Take me to pick up my car from the rental place." And I'm saying to myself, well, okay, I'm a poor lady, can't get a ride to the rental place. Let me give her a ride up and drop her off. And I'm really feeling sorry. It's like, man, I know it must be tough. She may not have a car. I mean, I didn't know the whole story. I just know she always felt like maybe once a month she would ask for a ride. And I'm feeling like, man, I'm really helping. So one day I said, why don't you get a it would take me, sometimes I get caught in traffic trying to get up. And one day I asked her, I said, why don't you get a closer place to pick up the rental car? Well, they could even come get you. Oh, I get better rates at this place where you've been taking me.
Oh,
that's what I said. Are you being used? We're going to take a quick break. I haven't spoke to that person. Every time I look at that person, I look at them, I'm like, I never look at that person the same again. I have to daggone it. Now, that's how you get used. They're using you so they can save a couple of bucks. This is the Brothers for Real. We'll come back. We're going to talk about, did you know that Trump, did you think that Trump, if Richard Nixon had come along when Fox News was on the air, if they had a Fox News back during Nixon's days, there may not have been a Watergate. He may still have been president because times are different. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is the Brothers for Real. I have Leon on the phone. If you want to join us, call us at 646-787-1967. Charles Dean, one of the people who were involved in Watergate, he said if there was a Fox News back then, Nixon probably would have survived. That's enough to make us all pause, because that's where we're heading as a country, where everything goes and media is calling the shots. This is the Brothers for Real. We're going to be right back after the break. Feel free to call. Website, brothersforreal.com. You can also get us on Facebook at Brothers For Real. We're also on Instagram. We're also on Twitter. We got the Brothers For Real all over the place, building the brand, trying to help, trying to make a difference, trying to help our community economically, spiritually, mentally, financially, educationally, and every other kind of lead you can think of. That's why we open up the lines. We don't have all the answers, but you can call us 646-787-1967. You can catch the past shows at brothersforreal.com. Right there on the top of the page, you'll see listen to shows. You can also see the brothers on the website at Brothers For Real. And by all means, go to Facebook and like us and follow us. That'll keep you in the know. Let you know when the show is coming up, what we're going to talk about. Talking about the Baby New Year, for one. Old Baby New Year said, look, y'all kind of messing up these resolutions. I had to wake him up, though. I'm going to see if he's in a bed over there. Let's find out what Baby... Daggone it. That Baby New Year, he just having a bad year. You know what happened, though, Leon? While you're on the break. I told Baby New Year who the president was.
Oh, man.
I had to whisper. He said, look. He said, I know, man. Because last year he was crying. He thought it'd be over by now. And when I told him, I said, nope, still there. And there he came. So, but I'm not going to let it bother me. What I'm going to do. Oh, y'all not supposed to hear that. I'm sorry. He is not driving me to drink. That was water. Huh?
Sounds like hot chocolate.
That's not like hot chocolate. Okay, good. Cool. Great. That's great. Check this out, though, Leon. this guy Dean, who was one of Richard Nixon's henchmen, this is out of his mouth. He said, if Fox News had been around back during the Watergate era, this was like in the early 70s, he said that Nixon probably would have survived. What he is doing is taking the looking glass and running what is happening now back through the prism of 1973, 74, when they got rid of Nixon. Because it's not our imagination. When you hear Fox News go on this machine where they're demonizing the FBI, they're demonizing the special prosecutor, Donald Trump can do no wrong. They've got a steady about 32 to 33% base of people. No matter what happens, they're going to support Donald Trump. Now, you say to yourself, well, hell, let those crazies just go ahead and do that. They're crazy people. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. They're cult followers. You can't worry about them. Well, unfortunately, it's not quite that easy because this crazy base is also influencing Congress. It influences judges. It influences marketers. It influences the media. And it could influence whether or not Donald J. Trump will get justice at the end of this investigation. And nobody wants to talk about this, but these folks are so crazy, they would actually, I believe that some of them would actually take up arms to defend Donald Trump. Because think about when the Civil War came along, the folks fighting the wars were not, most of them were not slaveholders. They weren't slaveholders. These were poor young white folks fighting for the rich oligarchs, the people that owned slaves. You got the same kind of mentality right now that would really go to fight for these billionaires, white supremacy. That's why it's troubling. That's why it's troubling. Why it's, you just can't ignore this 30% of people. And you have this mouthpiece like Fox News 24 hours a day just drumming that drum of their liberals are crazy. They're going to put this good president away. They're trying to take your rights away. They're trying to take your guns. They're taking your jobs. They're supporting the gay rights. They've got Muslims over here going to blow you up. You got the Mexicans who are raping you. You hear that 24 hours a day. If not, you can't just do that and not have some type of consequences.
Right. Well, they do that all day, just like you said. And I remember when President Obama was president, and I remember how they tried to destroy the, not only President Obama, it seemed like they were trying to destroy the office of the presidency, trying to be, they had to demean all of it to demean him. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say. And they had to do that. And I'm wondering, while all of this is going on, do they think, like, when they flip the switch, we'll all of a sudden respect the President of the United States, or that those people who they convinced that the President of the United States meant nothing, is it going to, like, switch overnight one day? No, it's not. And that's how you know what a guy like President, like a guy like, with a guy like Trump as president, because they have lost respect for the office of the president.
I have the most respect. I have more respect than anybody ever in the presidency. I have more respect than that President Obama and that Crooked Hillary. I have the most respect. Just look at all the respect I have.
Why are you going to tell me Trump's going to be on that side, man?
Tell that Leon over there. Those brothers for real. I have the best brothers. They think they have the best brothers. I have the best brothers. I have the best sisters. I have the best everything. Everything in the world, I have the best. This guy's crazy. He's in another world. I tell you what, though.
Yeah. So you got family, though. You know, you have to be careful how you call it. You know, people crazy, man. Some of your family and stuff be supporting them and stuff.
No, we don't do it. Come on, Leon. Say it ain't so.
We'll tell you
what.
Have...
Oh, man, please. Oh, God. Where's my drink?
Can't say this on now.
Can't say it on now. Okay.
Anyway, it's not about that. You know.
But I think it's a pretty fair assumption that the president, the person that's sitting in the White House, has some issues.
Yeah.
He's unconventional. I'm gonna give you the PC line, the politically correct line. He's unconventional. He's doing some things that a normal president wouldn't do. He is damaging the office of the presidency.
Yeah.
He's doing irreparable damage to some of the institutions that we hold dear, like the law enforcement, like the media. We call the media the fourth estate, and it's the only industry that's protected by the Constitution. That's the right of the free press. But we know that during World War III, it was precipitated by the rise of a man called Adolf Hitler. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf, called My Struggle. And as he was choosing his people to go out and do his dirty deeds, the first person he chose was somebody who specialized in marketing, media, and mind control, Joseph Goebbels. And anybody who doesn't believe that the media can swing things, we have to look no further than Rwanda, when we had one of the greatest massacres of all of our recent times, where 800,000 Hutus were slaughtered at the hands of the Tutsis. I mean, the other way around. The other Tutsis were slaughtered at the hands of the Hutus. It started with the media. So when John Dean says that Nixon could have survived if there had been a Fox News around back then, that is exactly what he is saying. The media is a mind-bending institution. There are 2,000 talk shows, about 2,000 talk shows in the country right now. Only about 200 of those 2,000 are progressives. That means liberal-leaning. That means the other 1,900 are what we call conservative or right-wing, in some cases right-out racist, white supremacist. That's what we're up against. So I want to put this out to the audience, to everybody who's fair-minded, as you think about how to give and how to make your resolutions, how do we combat this force of the Fox News of the world? If we don't have the numbers, how do we fight it? That's something I'm going to spend a few hours of the day. Now, I have my voice here. I have my radio show here. I have the radio show on Radio 1. We have social media. But how do we combat this? What John Dean said should make everybody pause. It's a crystal ball into what's in the future. He took it and went back. You take the climate we're in right now, go back 40 years, and Richard Nixon walks. There would have been no getting on the airplane. There would have been no, I'm not a crook. He would have just sat there and denied and denied and denied and had Fox News is supporting him. And this is somebody who worked for Nixon, so he knows. He probably knows better than the most of us.
I forget how many, but they just posted on the screen there how many falsehoods President Trump has told since he got elected. It's over 1,900 false and or misleading statements that he's made, and it's being fed into people's minds. You know, it's scary, man. It's really scary.
Well, Leon, do this. Fear not. Let's not use the word scary. Because we're some fearless brothers. It may be scary to some, but it's up to us, man, to replace fear with dogged determination, with admonition, with determinedness, steadfastness. And I know that's just a saying. People say that. They don't really mean they're scared. But I think we need to replace that with we're going to do something about it. We have to be the fearless ones. We have to stand up and lead the way. And I'm not just saying this as the brothers for real. I'm saying this as anybody who's righteous, who's fearless, who understands right from wrong, don't bend to the political wheels out of expediency just to make a quick buck. We need those people to stand up, to stand up. This will be a good year. I mean, I don't want to start on a somber note, but I'm saying this to say, we can't go to sleep. We went to sleep in 2017. We got fat and happy on the Barack Obama in 2016. Some of us woke up in 2017. 2018, we have to stay woke. We got to start trying new things because we're up against some forces. But we can win it. There's no question in my mind we can win it. Any party, Leon?
I just want to say, look, man, we got people that be tuning in, people are talking to me about the show, telling me how they enjoy it. I'd like to just give a shout-out to Bonnie Lou Allen Marsh, who just put a post out on Facebook telling everybody to check us out. So thank you, Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie. I think Bonnie was in my class, or class grade above. I think we were close to the same, came around the same time.
I'd like to give a big shout-out to her business in Waysboro. Waysboro has some great black businesses, and Bonnie's Quality Floors is one of them. We'd like to appreciate her for being there for so many years in the community and supporting you know, the efforts of organizations like ours. And while she's been in the community, we appreciate that. That's what it's going to take.
That's what it's going to take. And this is something I always say. When I use the word community, I say anybody who supports us, who hires us, who has our best interest at heart, can be a member of our community. I don't care whether you white, you straight, gay, Christian, Muslim, LGBTQ, I don't care what you are. If you support the uplifting and empowerment of our people, then we welcome you into our community. Because everybody of color is not your kind also. So we have to just look at, we have to be strategic in how we choose our friends and our enemies. Everybody that doesn't look like you is not necessarily your enemy, and everybody that looks like you is not necessarily your friend. So I'm going to say that, and I just want to wish everyone a successful and prosperous and blessed 2018. I want to say that 2017 was, we survived. We made it. If you're under the sound of my voice, that means you made it. That is something to celebrate.
Hey, Robin, as the preacher said, the minister said Sunday, and that deserves a praise. That deserves a praise.
Some people didn't make it. We want to say a prayer to those who didn't make it out of 2017, prayers to their families. But to the survivors, you don't have to just sit around and moan. Do something in their name, something positive, something uplifting, something great. Don't let their death be in vain. You can make a difference. Go plant a flower in their name. Dedicate to a cause in their name. Do something great in their name. This is the year for all of that good stuff. Folks, this is the Brothers For Real. We'll be back next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I want to thank you for listening. Go to the website, and you can listen to the show afterwards. Share us with others. Glad to have you as a listener. Leon, as always, brother, I'll be down at your dedication, by the way. When you get that star over at Livingstone, I've cleared my schedule, so I'm coming to town. Like Santa Claus, man. I'm coming to town.
Thank you, brother.
I believe. You.